Welcome to the Salem Alliance Church Podcast. To learn more about Salem Alliance, including life groups, gathering times, and other resources, visit us online at salemalliance.org. Today's talk is given by Ashley Dalen.
Tonight we are, or this morning, we are jumping into our series on prayer. We have been looking at the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and we are jumping into week 3 of that. And I just want to make sure that you're aware that we have extended the hours for the upper room across the street during this series. So you are invited to go partake in that space, to lift your personal burdens, to lift the things that are heavy on you for those around you and for our city. So feel free to take advantage of those extended hours. I would love to begin today by reading the Lord's Prayer together. So if you are able, I want to invite you to stand, and we are going to read the Lord's Prayer together. Follow me from the screen. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need, and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Feel free to take a seat as I pray for us. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for this prayer. Thank you for a prayer that beckons us closer to you, that calls us to deeper surrender and deeper trust and deeper dependence on you. And so we invite you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to just be present today. Would you speak to us? Would you minister to us? We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever had one of those seasons, whether it was just everyday life circumstances or unexpected circumstances, that just had your brain constantly spinning? Maybe for some of you, before you even wake up, when your eyes are still closed, but your brain is awake, it just immediately starts spinning on the cares and the worries of today. Do I have enough energy to do all the things of today? Don't forget to drop off that rent check. I should probably go back to counseling, but like when or how? Or if you're anything like me, what you're spinning on is, I think I said a really awkward comment in that group yesterday. Should I circle back? Should I apologize? And the spinning sometimes just goes on and on. Sometimes it's just everyday life circumstances that has our brain spinning. Other times, there are these unexpected circumstances that just take us off guard, and we're like, whoa, where did that come from? And it puts us into a spin. In February of this year, my husband stood in the doorway of our bedroom and looked at me with concern on his face as he said, I've been experiencing patches of numbness in my legs, and I think it's growing. My husband had had some undiagnosed lower back pain for a couple years, and so these new symptoms seemed to warrant a return to the doctor. We made an appointment, and by the time his doctor's appointment rolled around, he could hardly walk. They sent him in for MRIs, and we got that little ding, your results are available at home that night. He clicked the button, I was peering over his shoulder, and we went through the Dr. Seuss-esque language. I picked out the word myxopapillary ependymomas. I put it into my phone really quickly and I read out loud to my husband the definition. Myxopapillary ependymomas are rare, slow-growing spinal and brain tumors. I paused and looked at him to see how he was gonna respond. And he said, finally, I knew something was going on. They called us the next day and said we needed to get an immediate assessment from a neurosurgeon. The only neurosurgeon available on a Saturday in Salem is at the emergency room. So we spent the day at the emergency room. He got tons more MRIs. I spent the day watching HGTV on a silent screen with subtitles. Yes, I could remodel your kitchen now. And eventually they called us back into this tiny little room with this screen with lots of images on it. And the doctor looked at us and said, yep, you definitely have myxopapillary ependymomas all up and down your spine. We found out later he had primarily six. And he goes, you're going to need immediate surgery, but we can't do it here in Salem, so we need to get you to OHSU, but there's no beds available yet, so we'll let you know when we can get you up there. And I don't know how well you all know me, but I'm a very positive person in any circumstance. So I said, thank you so much. We'll be on our way. Give me a call. I'm a great driver. I'll get him there. We'll be good. And the doctor said, oh, no, he's not leaving. And I said, that wasn't part of the plan. They said assessment, go home, get takeout, lay in bed, watch our favorite show, and wrap our brains around this. He goes, no, that's not happening. He needs to stay here. He's under medical care from here on out. And that's when my brain began to spin. Wait a second. My husband's not leaving with me. He's staying here. And that's when I realized my husband would not be coming home for a while. Whether it's an unexpected circumstance or just the everyday tasks of life, our mind is prone to spin, unable to shut down. Our brain is desperately trying to seek and gain some semblance of control over the circumstance, the tasks, or the people around us. And our brains are a gift. They're a gift, but if our spinning is unmanaged, it can be relentless, and it can lead us to anxiety, depression, and a never-ending slew of what-ifs. The good news is, our spinning thoughts don't have to rule and reign us. Our spinning thoughts don't have to rule and reign us. Today, the passage of the Lord's Prayer we are going to focus on is, give us today the food we need, as it says in the NLT, or as some of us may have memorized it, give us today our daily bread, or as others may have memorized it, give us this day our daily bread. And that is where we get to be today. And for those of us who are familiar with this prayer in this passage, if we're honest, this is our favorite part, right? Because this is where we get to talk. This is all about us. And when our brains are doing this, I'll admit for myself, this is sometimes how I pray through the Lord's Prayer. Give us today my daily, or our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Give us today our daily bread. Okay, God, let me spin out to you the things that I am spinning on. And out they come. Okay, Lord, guess what? We've got some spine tumors. I'm going to need you to take care of that. And on my spin praying comes. And spin praying is not a matter of right or wrong. It's a matter of what we miss. When we are spin past the top of the Lord's Prayer to just spin out our needs, what we are seeking is God's hands. And in his grace, he oftentimes gives them to us. But we miss what he longs to give us. What he longs to give us is himself, his face, his heart, his presence, his peace, his power. What if Jesus, in his goodness, when asked by the disciples, how should we pray? He offered us a prayer with intentional movements that would slowly stop the spin by reordering our loves, restoring his rule and reign in our hearts, and refreshing us with his unshakable and very much in control presence. What if this prayer practice is an invitation to his presence, and in his presence, we find rest? 5 days after learning that Kyle had spine tumors, myxopapillary ependymomas, he was in emergency surgery at OHSU. He had the best neurosurgeon in the state. If you think I'm being dramatic, I Googled it. And his team did an amazing job. It was a 10-hour surgery, and they were able to remove 2 of the 6 tumors. Kyle went straight into the ICU and then remained at OHSU for 3 weeks. Kyle had around-the-clock care, and so one of us needed to sleep, so I didn't stay at the hospital with him. I'd leave every night and come back in the morning. And I'd either stay in Happy Valley with a friend or I'd come back to Salem. But what this afforded me was time in the car. It afforded me a drive every single day to the hospital. And I recognized that I had one of two options as I would drive to the hospital every morning. I could get in the car, spin over the top of the Lord's Prayer, and just spend my time spinning on my petitions because I had a lot. Lord, who's going to take care of the dog tomorrow? When am I going to call insurance? And all the things. And I would get to the hospital and I would have that same energy in me and I would go to his hospital room and I'd bring that frenzied anxiety energy to him, the staff, the Starbucks staff at Dorham Becker's. And that would be how I'd feel the rest of the day. I also realized I had another option. When I was in the car driving to the hospital, I could slowly move through the movements of the Lord's Prayer. I could spend 30 to 40 minutes just listening to worship music and praising God and reminding myself that who he is still who he is, despite my circumstances. And even when the words felt sticky in my mouth, I would sing the praises aloud. And I would sit in my car and go, okay, Lord, I want to get realigned with what you're doing here. What are you doing? I don't know what you're doing, but I believe you're at work. I believe you're with us. And so would you show me? Would you show me what you're doing? I want to pray in alignment with you. I want to move through this with you. And the petitions, the things I was spinning on, they were all still there. I still had to figure out who was going to watch the dog. I still had to call insurance. But the anxiety would lessen. And they wouldn't have this control, this rule or reign over me anymore. And I'd be able to enter into a time of my petitions from a place of being realigned and deeply loved. Today, as we look at Give Us Today, Our Daily Bread, these are the things that I think we're going to find in the larger story of Scripture. It reminds us of God's character. It reveals God's heart to us. And it offers us an antidote to the relentless spin. Give us today the food we need. Give us today our daily bread. Why does Jesus use food and bread as the picture for our daily needs? Well, I think every day we have to decide, what am I going to eat? Where is it going to come from? It's obnoxiously repetitive, am I right? I think the number one question asked around the world is, what are we having for dinner? It just keeps coming. And every day we have to decide who and what is going to sustain that need for the day. Give Us Today Our Daily Bread draws us into the larger story of Scripture, reminding us of God's character. Jesus is using the phrase, give us today our daily bread, as a hyperlink all throughout Scripture. If you just type in bread into BibleGateway.com, you'll see there's over 200 spots in the Scriptures that talk about bread. And when you go to those stories, they oftentimes reveal aspects of God's character to us. And one of those is in Exodus chapter 16. The Israelites are in the desert. They're complaining. They're idealizing the food that they left in Egypt. And although God has split the Red Sea and he's brought them out of slavery, they don't really know who this God is. And so God chooses to show them his character through the provision of food. And so what he would do is God would provide every morning. There'd be this flaky white substance on the ground when the Israelites would wake up. And they were instructed to go and to gather 2 quarts per person. And they would gather it, and some would gather a little more and some would gather a little less. But this is what it says in verse 18 in Exodus 16. It says, but when they measured it out, everyone had just enough. Those who gathered a lot had nothing left over. And those who gathered only a little had enough. Each family had just what it needed. And they were instructed not to stockpile it, to trust that it would be there every morning. And if they did stockpile it, it would get moldy. Except for on the 6th day, he would say, gather twice as much because tomorrow you're going to rest. Through manna and bread, God is communicating to the Israelites, this is who I am. I will provide for you every day. I will provide enough. I will provide solutions you could never imagine. I have a plan that includes provision and rest. Do you trust me? Give us today our daily bread. Reminds us who God is every single day. And if you're anything like me, forgetful and distracted, I need that reminder every single day. Give us today our daily bread reveals to us God's heart. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to turn to Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It'll also be on the screen, but Mark chapter 10, verse 46 is where we're going to be. It says this, "Then they reached Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples left town, a large crowd followed him. A blind beggar named Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road. When Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was nearby, he began to shout, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' 'Be quiet,' many of the people yelled at him. But he only shouted louder, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' When Jesus heard him, he stopped and said, 'Tell him to come here.' So they called the blind man. 'Cheer up,' they said. Come on, he's calling you.' Bartimaeus threw aside his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked. 'My rabbi,' the blind man said, 'I want to see.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go, for your faith has healed you.' Instantly the man could see, and he followed Jesus down the road." Bartimaeus is shouting, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." By yelling, "son of David," he's affirming Jesus as the Messiah, his kingship. Could we say he's giving adoration? He then says, "have mercy on me." He's pleading for the kingdom of God, a kingdom of restoration and wholeness and healing, to come to earth and to touch him in this moment. And therefore, the next thing is petition. Jesus hears his cry. He brings him close and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" And Bartimaeus says the most vulnerable, but the most true thing. "I want to see." Give us today our daily bread is an opportunity for Jesus to sit beside us, place a hand on our back, lovingly reminding us that he's present, and ask us, "What do you want me to do for you?" And the way that we choose to answer that question is sometimes hard. It's vulnerable. Because the antidote to the spin is surrender. Surrender. Give us today our daily bread is an opportunity to surrender, to confess that we are not God and we need him. To confess that it's not by our wit and our grit, our friends or our resources that we can provide for our deepest needs and our deepest desires, but that he is truly the source for those things. The antidote for the spin is surrender. Now, for some of us, this give us today our daily bread is a litmus test for, I think, our pride. As Jesus places his loving, kind, and gentle hand on our back and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" We kind of go, you can take your hand back. I got it. I'm a big girl. Go help someone else." I think this question, give us today our daily bread, is a litmus test for our self-protection. I think as Jesus places his hand on our back and says, "What do you want me to do for you?" Sometimes we lean away and go, "You're God. Just do what you want to do. If I don't ask, I can't be disappointed. So just go ahead. You're God. I trust you." I think there's a myriad of ways that we can respond to this, give us today our daily bread. But I think the invitation as followers of Jesus is to continue to walk with him every day, to learn to trust him, to see him provide for our needs, so that when he puts his hand on our back and he says, "What do you want me to do for you?" our response is to just lean into it and to answer with honesty and vulnerability the deepest things that we spin on. And I think that for some in this room, you're like, "But the things that I spin on, I have already said so many times to God. The prodigals I've prayed for, the miracles I haven't seen, the addictions I've asked to break, does he really want me to ask again?" I think the answer is yeah. Not because he hasn't heard you, not because he's not listening, but I think because when we choose to lean in and to answer that question again, to share the deepest thing, the truest thing we spin on, I think it opens us up to receive his daily grace and his daily mercy in the not yet. And I think it keeps our hearts soft. Where sometimes I think time and unmet expectations can tempt my heart to go hard. Jesus said in John chapter 6 these incredible words, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again." Jesus himself is our daily bread. He alone can satisfy amidst the weariness, the daily tasks, the unexpected circumstances, the anxious hearts, the impulses, the spin of life. Give us today our daily bread as an opportunity to whisper up again, "I need you," and to hear him whisper back, "I am with you." After 3 weeks in the hospital, Kyle came home, and then our conversations with the doctors quickly transitioned to next steps. It became clear that Kyle's next step on his health journey was to go spend 6 weeks at the Fred Hutch Cancer Center in Seattle for some proton radiation therapy. And my mind began spinning. How are we going to move to Seattle for 6 weeks? The week before we needed to be in Seattle, I had a little family reunion happening in Salem. And me being the overachiever I am, I volunteered to handle the food. Brilliant. So I'm at Costco. I've got a very long list of food I need to shop for. And I'm sitting in my car and my heart is pounding and I'm feeling short of breath. And I think I'm going to have a heart attack. I think I'm going to have a panic attack. And I think they're going to find me in the Costco parking lot and think I choked on like a $1.50 hot dog. That's not going to be it. I'm overwhelmed. My brain is spinning. And so I cry out the words of Bartimaeus, "Lord, have mercy on me." And God whispers to my heart, "What do you want me to do for you?" I said, "I want you to help me shop for food for my family." He said, "Okay." My heart calmed, my body calmed. We got out of the car, we went into Costco. I just want to warn you that if you ask God to shop with you, he is the most unorganized and inefficient grocery shopper. We zigzagged all over that Costco. Bing, 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 bing. It was the longest Costco trip I've ever had. Because God was not in a hurry. He wasn't concerned about efficiency. He was concerned about me. And so we walked throughout that Costco, and the God who split the Red Sea walked through Costco with me to get my daily manna, and that Costco became holy ground. So what do you want him to do for you? Bartimaeus did not beat around the bush. He said the thing that was the most vulnerable and the most true. The antidote to the spin is surrender. The band's going to come up and play and just give us some space to answer this question. And I want to invite you to close your eyes, to imagine that Jesus is sitting right beside you, placing his loving hand on your back, reminding you that he is so present. And I want you to hear him whisper the words to you, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I want you to take as much time as you need to answer that question, because I can assure you, he is not in a hurry.
Thanks for listening to the Salem Alliance podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. Salem Alliance is a community of believers located in downtown Salem, Oregon, and we are passionate about our city being a city at peace with God. To experience other messages and discover more about who we are, please visit salemalliance.org or download the Salem Alliance app. And again, thanks for listening.